The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. Jesus began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was Jesus' custom. Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Jesus unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and then sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, the gospel of our Lord." Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've been doing some reading lately about leadership, about organizations, about businesses, about all sorts of things that affect people and how we come together and how we group ourselves as an organization of people. And one of the common things, or a thread that seems to run through these books, or through these authors, or through these presenters, is the idea that your business, your organization, or even your church needs a mission statement or a tagline. In other words, something to identify you, something to fix your goal on, something that you say to the world, this is the core of what we're about. Now, at some point in the past, Zion made a mission statement. It's found in the front of your bulletin. But Zion's not unique. In fact, many companies and many groups have done the same thing. Maybe you're familiar with General Electric. Their statement is, "We bring good things to life." Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's finger-licking good. Burger King. Yes, you can have it your way. McDonald's, "We'd love to see you smile." Ford, "Quality is job one." General Motors, largest company on earth. Their statement's a little bit interesting. Their says, "A GM car will run bad longer than most cars will run." Well, maybe it doesn't. That's just my experience. Maybe that's just that should be their mission statement if it isn't. And yes, we here too at Zion Church have a mission statement. And these are meant to define a life of an organization. Like their thesis, if you will. This is what we're about. These are the goals that we strive for. This is who we want to be to the world. And they hope that when people outside the organization think about your organization, that those are the words that will pop into your head. If you're thinking chicken, you're thinking finger-licking good. If you're thinking car, you're thinking quality is job one. If you're thinking washing machine, you're thinking we bring good things to life. That's the point of what a mission statement or a tagline is all about. Now, why all this talk about this? Well, today in our Gospel reading from Luke, we find Christ's mission statement. Christ has just begun his public ministry. We are told he's just starting to go to the synagogues and through areas preaching, starting to reveal God's word and God's purpose to the world. And then Christ comes home to Nazareth, which is his hometown. I can only imagine how scary that was for Jesus. I can remember my first sermon in my home congregation and what a mess that turned out to be. But nevertheless, Jesus chooses his own hometown, where he's probably simply just known as Jesus, son of Mary and Joseph. Nothing special. And on the Sabbath day, as all have come to worship, He stands up in the synagogue. And he's handed the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. And he reads out the words that turn out to be his mission statement. Words that define his ministry. From the 16th verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's Christ's mission statement. This we will see as we journey through church together, as we journey through the Lord of God. These words will define Christ's ministry. He works to take the captives out of bondage, to bring sight to those who are blind, to work for the betterment of the oppressed, to be a blessing for the world. This is Christ's mission statement. This is what He's all about. And we are the recipients of this. For the truth of the matter is, without Christ, we are blind. We are spiritually blind, for we do not see the world as the world is. Without Christ, we are oppressed. We are in bondage to the chains of sin. Without Christ, we are sick. We are suffering. But with Christ, we are healed. We are liberated. We are saved. This is Christ's mission statement. And Christ will call on us to make this our mission statement. To bring sight to the blind, to work for the oppressed, to bring healing to the world. And that's quite a powerful thing that Christ has called us to. But fortunately, God has not left us alone. As we hear from the Apostle Paul, we all live in the body of Christ. And we've all been gifted in individual and unique ways to serve in that body, to serve the world. Hands, feet, ears, eyes, mouths. And Christ needs it all. Christ doesn't need 1,000 mouths and 1 hand. Christ doesn't need 1,000 people talking about all the great things they're going to do for Him and only one person actually working to do them. Christ desires our hands to work for Him in the world. Our feet to travel to those in need in the world. Our eyes and ears to listen to the plight and needs of others, and our mouths to proclaim God's grace and God's love for all of God's children. And just like Christ, that we hear today declaring His ministry, His desire to bless the world, just like Jesus, we too have been gifted with the Holy Spirit. For as we're told in our reading today, the Holy Spirit is upon Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells in each of us. For we have received the same anointing and the same Holy Spirit in our baptisms. We are inheritors of this power. We are inheritors of this love that Christ had. This is why we're called to be Christ-like in the world. We are called to make this our mission statement. If we want to be Christians to the world, if we want to bear the name of Christ to the world, if we, as a church, if we want to be a Christian church, if we want to bear the name of Christ to the world, then we need to take the mission of Christ to the world. For if we just take the name of Christ and want to take the benefits of His name, but we don't want to take His mission, then we suffer from hypocrisy. For to take the name of Christ, for to bear the name of Christ in the world, means to also take the mission of Christ into the world. And that can be a daunting task. But fortunately, we've been gifted as a corporate body, as we live in Christ together, serving, assisting one another, praying for one another. We've been gifted as a group to be the body of Christ in the world, and we've also been gifted as individuals to be Christ to our neighbor and those in need. And sometimes we don't tap into that power. Sometimes we might turn our back to it. Sometimes we might not even realize that we have it. Because we might be a little bit deaf. We might be a little bit blind. We might be in bondage to sin. But hopefully Christ has liberated us. Hopefully He has set us free. Hopefully we are living in the freedom of faith and grace. People and organizations often talk about an 80% and 20% rule. And maybe you've heard of this rule. And it seems to extend into the business place, into schools, into nonprofit organizations, even into families. And this rule states that 20% of people will do 80% of the work. I'm not sure that rule bears out in your own life. If you seem to be the one doing all the work in your family, if you seem to be the one doing all the work in your workplace, if you seem to be the one doing all the work in the organizations that you serve, if you seem to be the one doing all the work in the church, or maybe you fall into that other 80% and you watch people do all the other work. Well, the sad reality is sometimes the church does look like that 80-20% rule. Sometimes it would seem that the harvest is large, but the laborers are few. Sometimes it would see only a few people seem to be fired up. Well, according to Christ, that's unacceptable. For notice what happens in today's gospel reading. Christ stands up in the synagogue, clears his throat, declares in so many words that he might be the Messiah, that he's come as God, bringer of hope, healing, and reconciliation to the world. And then we're told he hands the scroll back and sits down. And people start mumbling. They recognize what's going on here. What is this Jesus of Nazareth just said? This is Mary's son, isn't it? Then he looks at them and he says, today in your hearing, God's word has been fulfilled. In other words, when God's word goes out, God's word accomplishes what God intends to accomplish. We are told that God's word does not return back empty. And this hits us where we live. Because as we hear God's word proclaimed, as we hear Christ's mission to us, how do we respond to that? That's God's word coming to us. That's God's word filling our hearts, our beings. And do we turn that off? Do we ignore it? And then do we complain later that God never seems to speak to me? That I never seem to feel close to God? No. God's calling out to all of us to recognize our gifts, to recognize our place in the body of Christ, in the body of this church, and to work for the things that Christ has laid out for the betterment of the world, to be a blessing to others. This word is fulfilled in your hearing. That's what I pray for every Sunday morning. That hopefully the things that I preach, that God will empower me, that the words will float through the air, that they'll land into your heart of faith, and they'll stir up something in you. That God's word will be fulfilled in you. I always don't know how you hear God's word. I always don't know how you respond to God's word. But nevertheless, I hope and pray that it's fulfilled in you. That you recognize the needs of a neighbor. That you recognize a program you can lend your gifts to. That you recognize in some way that you can bring the kingdom of God into being for someone or for something in this world. That's how the word of God is fulfilled. As we work through the body of Christ. As we use our gifts, our hands, our feet, our mouth, our eyes, our ears. We fulfill God's word. We bring God's word to the world. There's a saying, and it says, preach the gospel every day, and if necessary, use words. In other words, the things that we do, the love, the compassion that we show for people, says a lot about what we believe and about what we hold in the place of centrality in our lives. We're not all called to be preachers. We're not all called to be administrators. We're not all called to be deacons. We're not all called to serve on the maintenance committee. But together, we make up the body of Christ. Together, we're called to individual ministries. We're called to individual things. And that's our strength. As odd as it is, we find as Christians unity in our diversity. We are called to all be a little bit different, to all do things a little bit differently. And in our differences, we find our unity. And that's a great gift that Christ has given us. He's given us the gift of salvation. He's given us the gift of the empowering Holy Spirit. He's given us the gift of each other. You strengthen me, hopefully I'm able to strengthen you. You uphold me, hopefully I'm able to uphold you. You hold me to accountability, hopefully I'm able to hold you to accountability. And then out of this, we are given our mission. To help those in need. To help those who are blind to see the world. To help those who are oppressed, who are in bondage, to experience the freedom of love and grace, and to be the body of Christ in the world. And that's a great mission. And I think we're up to it. Amen.